Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And guys, it is me today. Yes, you have me. And let me tell you, when you host a show, you never want to be nervous or scared or incapable of doing a show by yourself. It's good, it's good to get out of your comfort zone. I'm really not out of my comfort zone because I love the talk. And I love doing the show. There is a possibility that Jeff Winninger might be able to join us later on, but for right now, it's going to be me. And I'll tell you, I've got some great topics to talk about. And hey, I do want to mention our sponsors. Guys, please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring this quality content to you. And look, it's not cheap. Radio costs money, especially satellite radio as well. So these guys, when I say they go to great lengths to bring the show for you guys, believe me, they really do. We have Gauls as our title sponsor. You can see the banner behind me, and that is Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com. They're our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we got on satellite radio on May the 5th. And I'll tell you, that's expensive, and they're making it happen. So thanks to Compliant Technologies. Of course, we have AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We'll be talking about their tier 1, 2, and 3 rifles coming up. Gunlearn.com, my buddy Dan O'Kelly started that company. And I tell you, he travels the country educating everybody about guns and ammo, including feds. We've also got MyMedicare.live. If you're getting close to that 65 age, where your Medicare cost is going to, jump in and your private health care cost is going to go down. Jim Cavill's the guy to talk to. SafeGuardRecruiting.com. Thanks to them, our streaming sponsor. We're reaching over 1 million people on stream right now. Also, TwoBells.com. They built their new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Now, that's our website. Go to LeoRoundtable.com and you'll see we have an online store. Check it out. We've got cool gear. Oh my gosh, these guys built a killer store. We got rid of the old store. We got everything's new. All the gear, shirts, hats, shorts, outfits for girls. We got everything. We got this coolie right here. We got coolie sea in warm climates like where I'm at in Tampa, Florida. We have coolies to keep our drinks cool, right? And it's because it gets so hot, guys. And we'll be switching over to the coffee mug. Actually, it's supposed to be this month when we do our giveaways for Two Bells. So check out twobells.com or go to our online store that they built for us and check out the cool gear. The price is so cheap that it's you pay what I pay. We don't make a dime off of anything on the store. We're just trying to get our gear out there. So the prices are literally as low as they can possibly get. We don't even make a penny off of anything that we sell. So please check that out. FishOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a fishing charter out there in Orlando. So I always say, if you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, and of course, I'm talking about Disney World, not Disneyland in California, keep the car in gear, foot on the brake, let them out, let them go have fun. You have options. And as a dude, you want to go to that bass fishing charter that Zach has in Orlando. So fishorlandobass.com. He also offers, if you guys are up for it, alligator hunting. That's catching and relocating alligators. What an amazing opportunity. If you guys do sign up, send me a note, chiptheblock@gmail.com. You got to let me know that you did it. And I want pictures. I want proof. And a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates, our very own, with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these guys for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? I've got our main story. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. Trump settles a lawsuit with who? Our nemesis, YouTube, for $24.5 million over post-January 6th suspension. It's more than that. In fact, we're even going to cover some stuff that we suffered from YouTube that is the exact same thing they had to pay for. It was a class action lawsuit. Wait till you hear about this stuff. And we've also got another one. DOJ sues the sheriff in California over a systemic obstruction of gun permits. The sheriff, and this is LA County, Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. They don't want to give out gun permits. Wait till you hear this horrendous story. Then we had a suspect arrested after purposely crashing into a Fairview Heights police cruiser and during a traffic stop. And wait till you hear when he tells the cop why he did it. Louisiana State Police fatally shoot a suspect who was armed with a gun after a police chase. And then we got Second Amendment groups. They are challenging California's switchblade ban in the Ninth Circuit. So not only do they have the LA County not giving gun permits out to carry concealed, but now They're not allowing you to carry switchblades. And yeah, I've got one right here that we're going to be demonstrating from Microtech. Yeah, I can't wait. Also, we got passenger flees a traffic stop, is tased multiple times during a foot chase. This is clearly an example of a cop that's a little bit too comfortable with the taser. This guy does not want to go hands-on, not even given, you know, whenever you use force or a taser, you're supposed to give commands to let the people know what to do to alleviate the pain, just what you want them to do. How do you want them to comply? And I wasn't too impressed with this guy. California court blocks full seizure of murderous retirement funds for restitution. That's an important one, I think. An SO releases footage of a fatal shooting involving a guy that's armed with a knife in a mental health crisis. Well, I think most of these stories are involving people in a mental health crisis. Then we got a family blaming police in Texas after an officer violates an order and he drives the murderer to the victim's home. And the victim ends up dying, gets killed. It's a sad story. And guys, there's not a lot of excuses for that one. So if you guys are ready, let's jump into this. And hey, streamers, I'm going to be checking out the streams and reading some content. So if you have anything you want to say or any engagements or anything, feel free to chime in. I got MVS already saying, don't cut myself off. I'm not sure what you mean by that, but the only good alligator is a dead alligator. Now, MVS, these are not crocodiles. These are alligators. So they're like little pets down here. Everybody's got like a little pet. When I was young, we used to go by the alligator forms, and you could buy these little pet alligators. I kid you not. That was here in Florida when I grew up as a kid back in the early 60s. So that is a true story. And yeah, they don't do that anymore. So anyhow, let's get rolling here. We've got about 4 minutes before we take our first commercial break. And let's get to the main story. So Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, Trump settles a lawsuit with YouTube for $24.5 million over post-January 6th suspension. So listen to what YouTube's been doing. Look, we know, and we've been, you know, we've been vocal on the show about it, but now it's in print. YouTube has agreed to pay President Trump $24.5 million to settle a class action lawsuit. Now, the suit was filed in July of 2021. It accused the video platform and other tech giants of unlawfully censoring Trump and other conservative voices following the events of January 6th in 2021, of course. Now, while YouTube, and it is a subsidiary of Google, they did not admit any wrongdoing, the settlement does mark the second time a major tech company has paid out to resolve a former president's claims of unlawful silencing. And this follows Meta. Remember Meta, Facebook, $25 million agreement with Trump earlier this year for suspending accounts after the Capitol riot. So at least they're being, held accountable. There has to be consequences, guys. The bulk of the settlement, $22 million of it, it's been designated for the Trust of the National Mall to support the construction of the White House ballroom. I love it. Trump's not jamming the taxpayers with a bill. Google and YouTube are paying for it. And an additional $2.5 million from the settlement is going to go to a group of Trump supporters. Now, this is where it starts getting pretty interesting. The settlement comes at a time of shifting policies for YouTube's parent company. And Google has announced on Tuesday, the parent company, that it would allow video creators previously banned for violating political speech guidelines an opportunity to return to the platform. So I immediately think of people like Dan Bongino, but even thinking about us, you know, we were getting, they were trying to cancel us. And when I say cancel, if you get three strikes within 90 days on YouTube, they will delete your channel. They'll delete all your followers, subscribers, and it's irrevocable. You cannot undo it. The move follows a period during the Biden administration when YouTube faced scrutiny for its content moderation policies, which we experienced, particularly regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, which is exactly what we experienced. YouTube quickly imposed policies restricting discussions about COVID-19, including treatments, as content creators began speaking out against the vaccines and related mandates. Now, they accused us of giving out medical misinformation, and that's exactly what they put down. And that was when I knew that I had to self-delete about 2,400 videos that were on YouTube. And I hired a company to back up the YouTube channel before I self-deleted, because it was to the point to where we had our second strike and I was expecting strike number three any day. And once they went with medical misinformation, because we were talking about COVID-19, we're talking about the pandemic, we're talking about, you know, the shot, the vaccine. I never got vaxxed. We have some people in the show that got vaxxed, some didn't. You know, we weren't giving medical misinformation. We weren't telling people what to do, but we were educating people, and we were having some good spirited debates. So anyhow, when we got that second strike for medical misinformation, I knew it was only a matter of time for them to give us the third one, because we had so much content that was already on there where we talked about the same thing. And that's exactly, we were next in line, hired a company, paid them to back up our whole channel. They said they did. I called them up. I confirmed with them that they backed it up. And then I self-deleted about 2,400 videos. And then I found out that there was a glitch and the company's backup did not take, and that we lost all that content, which is unfortunate. So I got my money back from the company, big deal, but we were out that content. So I systematically go in and I'll delete all of our content on YouTube, because I don't keep content on there because I hate YouTube. They hate conservatives and they hate law enforcement. And now this is just a another admission that, you know, that they did do to us what I've said they've been doing all along. Guys, it's time for our first commercial break. So stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, guys, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And when you throw the online mix into it, the choices are almost like limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this, their motto. Their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And hey, they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code to use to get 15% off your next purchase. It is Radio 15. So type in Radio 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. Hey, I just got to, I wish I would have used the code for the boots I just bought. And I've got my new pair of waterproof Danner boots, all leather. Go to Gauls.com. Radio 15 is the code. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And yes, they are our satellite sponsor. You know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them the chip sent you. Again, that website is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And we've been talking about a settlement that Trump has with Google and YouTube. Google is a parent company. They own YouTube. And I was talking about our little experience with YouTube as well. You know, everything in this class action lawsuit, it really backs up what we've been saying about YouTube and how they hate conservatives and they hate law enforcement. And I originally started the show, and we were a YouTube show. You know, we were going to do the social media thing, and we were going to be able to monetize it, which we did until they stopped monetizing all of our videos. In fact, they automatically started demonetizing our videos. So it's just the kind of stuff that we had to put up with. So we've got a very limited presence on YouTube. We have two types of shows. We have a live show, which is what you're watching right now, if you're watching this live during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time, Monday through Friday. And then producer Will will take a copy of the show, and he'll embed all the videos that we talk about. He'll put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. And that goes out the very next day, Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. So the live shows are the only thing that we put on YouTube. And I really systematically go in and delete all of them. So we don't have any inventory on YouTube. I hate YouTube. I don't want to be associated with YouTube. And we certainly don't put the produced videos on it, because that's when you start getting the strikes. And, you know, whether it's the music you're using or video, we even did a thumbnail picture for a video. And the bad guy had a knife, and he was holding it about waist level. And they thought that it was let's just say another body part that is not usually exposed because it's hitting my clothing. And that's what they thought it was. And they gave me a strike, and I had to, that's, I think, the only one I ever won. And I had to write them, it is not a, and I used the word that starts with a P. And then I guess they examined or blew it up or got the, you know, the magnifying glass out and figured out that I was correct and it was actually a knife, and I won that one. But anyhow, according to this article, the Binet Men was having YouTube do content moderation over the COVID-19 pandemic, and that's why they cited us with medical misinformation. Now, a letter to the House Judiciary Committee, in that Google acknowledged that creators were removed for violating guidelines on election integrity and COVID-19 content. Now, the company also disclosed that Biden officials had pressed them repeatedly to remove content that did not technically violate policy, but was labeled misinformation. And we experienced some of that. So anyhow, I have great joy in seeing them pay $24.5 million to President Trump. And I even have more joy seeing where Trump's putting the money. And it's really going in our pocket, because we would be paying for the ballroom and everything else. And I mean, Trump would pay for it out of his pocket, but it's just nice to see that he's trying to save the taxpayers money by doing the right thing with the money when he gets it. So I love it. So that's that story. Now, moving along, our next story that we've got, we got an update article, TampaFP.com, that's a Tampa Free Press. DOJ sues a sheriff in California over systemic obstruction of gun permits. Now, wait till you guys hear this one. So the United States Department of Justice, or the DOJ, they have filed a landmark lawsuit against Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. So that's where Jeff Winninger used to work. He started off with LA Sheriff's Office, and then he went with LAPD. And the sheriff's name is Robert Luna. They're alleging the agency is engaged in systemic obstruction that effectively denies law-abiding citizens their constitutional right to carry a concealed firearm. Now, you know, everybody's got rules for doing that, right? And you've got to just jump through the hoops. Now, Florida just became, you can carry concealed, as long as you're not a prohibited person. So there's still places you can't carry, but you don't have to have the permit to carry concealed anymore. And now you can open carry as well. So filed in the U.S. District Court of the Central District of California, the complaint states that the Sheriff's Office, LASD, they implemented a deliberate pattern of unconscionable delay in processing these carrying concealed weapon applications, rendering the Second Amendment right established by the 2022 Supreme Court Bruin decision meaningless in practice. Now, listen to the staggering result. This is just kind of crazy. I'm going to go in and read some of the stats. The lawsuit alleges that the near total denial rate is achieved through administrative exhaustion. Near total denial. That means almost everybody that applies gets denied. The complaint states that applicants were forced to wait a median, an average of 372 days. That's over a full year, guys, just for the application process to advance to the next step, such as the interview portion. The average delay is 281 days. Some applicants waited as long as over 1,000 days. And that's nearly 3 years. Now, the core of the DOJ's complaint, the stats are staggering. Between January of 2024 and March 2025, so we're talking about, you know, a year and like, 3 months, the department received almost 4,000 applications, so 3,982, for new concealed carry licenses. Of those, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, they approved how many? Two out of almost 4,000. That's an approval rating of just 0.05%. And I've already given you the other stats. It's just staggering. And they don't think it's just bureaucratic inefficiency. They think it's a system of systemic obstruction of your constitutional rights. And it talks about the lengthy timeline. So anyhow, as of May 2025, there are almost 3,000 new license applications remain pending. Some people even walked away from it. So they've got a Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994, and they're seeking permanent injunction to prohibit the Sheriff's Office and Sheriff Luna from continuing to implement these procedure delays or denials, and is a violation of the Second and the 14th Amendment. So we'll see what happens there, but just staggering numbers, very disappointed, but I shouldn't be too surprised because it's California, but that's how they're rolling in Los Angeles County anyhow. So yeah, very disappointed to see that. So moving along, guys, and I know we've got roughly about a minute and 20 seconds before we get to our next commercial break. I think that we're up for a story with a video component. So at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, we've got a suspect arrested after purposely crashing into a Fairview Heights police cruiser during a traffic stop.
Oh, shit.
Fairview 187. My vehicle's just been hit. Start an ambulance.
Hey, what happened?
You tell me!
I need a new car.
Somebody ran into me, push my vehicle into the other vehicle, start an ambulance, need a supervisor. Here, come over here, buddy. Get out of the road. Here, have a seat real quick. Have a seat. You all right?
Damn. Yeah, I'm all right.
What happened, dude?
I don't know, man. I've been drinking.
You've been drinking?
Yeah, I've been drinking.
Okay.
And I took some weed pills.
Some weed pills?
Yeah.
And it doesn't, when I initially read the title, I'm thinking that this guy just, you know, sees a guy in a marked car and he veers and he like crashes into him, maybe head on or swipes him or something. Cop was already on a traffic stop. And I'm glad he was out of the car because you can see the bags, you know, the airbags deploy in the car. So again, we are in Fairview Heights. Now this happens to be in Illinois. Now don't forget what's going on in Illinois right now. You remember Chicago's in Illinois, right? And so we've got, you know, the National Guard in there. You've got the mayor of Chicago and the governor saying they don't want Trump. That's safe. Everything's wonderful. You know, we live in Copacabana and, you know, we don't need the help. So, you know, they've got some serious issues over there. Authorities released the body cam video. The moment they see the driver purposely crash into the back of this Fairview Heights police car, it was an SUV in Fairview Heights. And guys, I'm going to talk about that in 1 second. You're not going to believe what this guy says after it goes down. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. The M4E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence. And that means that now the civilian customers should start getting hold of that. So you guys can start getting hold of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-weight platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We have been talking about a story with a video component. We have a suspect arrested after purposely crashing into a Fairview Heights police cruiser during a traffic stop. This is in Illinois. And so this guy's name is, our loser guy, Keijan L. Jennings. He's 28 years old, charged with criminal damage to government property and 3 counts of aggravated battery. So the video starts off with the officer doing a traffic stop. He's out of his cruiser, and it's an SUV. He's on the passenger side, so he's not in the roadway. And he's starting to converse with the driver. It's a vehicle that has expired tags. And so the passenger window of the vehicle he pulled over, it's down. And then all of a sudden, someone slams into the rear end of the cop's cruiser, slams him right into the rear end of the car that he pulls over. And you're trying to process. So I initially thought that maybe the car he had pulled over had just jammed it in reverse and slammed into the cop car. That's not what happened. The cop car got hit from reverse and slammed into that guy. And so the cop goes out on radio. He's trying to process all the stuff. And so then this guy appears, who is the, and I thought that I was trying to think, where did that guy come? Did he come from the car that got hit or what? You know, but there's a car out of view you can't see that hits the police cruiser. And time goes on, the cop tells this guy, man, you know, like, okay, sit down. The guy was saying, the cop says, no, sit down. I don't want you walking in traffic. I don't want you to get hurt and stuff. So he directs him to sit down on the road and keeps having to tell him to sit down. And then finally the guy gets to the point where he tells the officer that he's been drinking and he's taking weed pills, marijuana pills. And then he eventually says, I did that on purpose. And the cop goes, you hit me on purpose. And the guy says, yeah. Now, right about that time, another cop shows up as backup. And he said, the big guy continues to say, I was bored. And so then he goes on to say, the cop gets him in the conversation with the backup there. So the backup guy can hear him saying this. And he goes, I hate cops, man. That was his reason for doing it. So there were two people in the vehicle that got slammed into. They were not hurt. They were given a warning for the expired tag. So they ended up benefiting from this. And the bad guy, Jennings, is being held at the St. Clair County Jail. So that's the way that goes down. So I don't know if that surprises anybody or not, but you don't see that every day on a show, or that's for sure, or in the news. So that was kind of a new one for me. Now, guys, Moving along, we have another story with another video component, so keep your seatbelts on. Rumble.com, again, we are at This Is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Now we're in Louisiana, and we have state police. They fatally shoot a suspect who's armed with a gun, and it happens after police chase.
Wright fell to the ground and pointed the firearm at the trooper. The trooper immediately transitioned from his taser to his firearm and discharged it, striking Wright.
So here's how this thing goes down. So we're in Houma, Louisiana. We've got two alleged narcotic suspects, and they lead troopers on a fatal police chase. They're identified on September the 9th by Louisiana State Police. Now, the agency said that 46-year-old Jonah Parfait of Houma, that he's the driver of this pickup truck that fled an attempted traffic stop on Monday afternoon, and that a 31-year-old Darren Riff of the same place, of whom was also a passenger in the truck. And that guy ended up being fatally shot by a state trooper. So listen to how this thing goes down. So according to the state police, our bad guy gets out of the truck on the passenger side and he starts to flee on foot. Now, there's a pursuit and they kind of leave this out. But during the pursuit, they end up going down a dead end road, right? And the trooper is a good ways away. But he says, hey, getting ready to bail. He knows what's going down. And this guy jumps over a fence and he's on foot now. So the trooper bails out. The guy in the truck that's still driving, because remember, it's the passenger that bails out. He does a little U-turn at the dead end, drives through someone's front yard, I think. And now he takes off and he's still running. But they got people still chasing him. So the bad guy, the passenger that jumps out named Riff, he produces a gun while he's running, and the trooper discharges a service weapon, and our bad guy ends up being struck and pronounced dead at the scene. And the incident was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the troopers attempt to stop the truck. Now, it's not just any truck. It's a 2023 Ford F-150 Raptor. We've all heard of the Raptor, right? And it's being driven by the guy named Parfait. Now, the state police said that our bad guy, he stopped, but then sped away. And they started the chase, and then he eventually, bails out, and they end up getting him with a canine. So that's the way that ends. Now, going to my show notes, which are a little bit more descriptive, when the troopers pursuing the guy that got out of the passenger seat and jumped the fence, the trooper's got a taser in his hand the whole time. And then when the passenger who's running through this field falls down on the ground, he produces the firearm, and he's like in a prone position on the ground. He's pointing at the pursuing trooper who's running up on him on foot. And that's when the trooper, and man, it is fat. That transition's fat. That trooper loses the taser, goes to the firearm, and he shoots and he kills the freaking bad guy. And he actually does a mag dump. He fires all of his rounds. I was having trouble keeping count because the shots kind of accelerated at one point, but he does a mag dump and he puts a fresh mag in. I never heard him fire after he put the fresh mag in. And that's the way that went down. Of course, the other guy that fled in the truck, the Raptor, ends up getting apprehended by K-9 after fleeing on foot and crashing, that truck. So that's the way that goes down. So another wild scenario, guys. No fault on the trooper for chasing the bad guy with a taser. Just because a bad guy is running from you doesn't mean that, you've got to, you're always prepared to go lethal, right? You've got a gun with you at all times. It's just in a holster. When you're jumping fences and chasing guys, you got a gun in your hand, less safe. And you're inviting bad things to happen. Your foot hits a hole in the ground, a pivot hole or whatever, and maybe your finger, slips, or you're running with a finger on the trigger or something, which you shouldn't do. But bad things can happen, and you don't want to get in a fight with a bad guy with a gun in your hand either. So I'm just glad, thank God, the trooper was able to transition from the taser, from the less lethal to the lethal as fast as he was able to do. I suspect that they're doing some really good training there in Louisiana, because it was pretty pristine. I was very happy to see that. So, and I'm just looking for commentary on the video from you guys as well. So hopefully you guys agree with me. This is Butter, who is actually on Rumble right now. Thank you so much for supplying that video. I thought it was rock solid. So we got some more stuff coming your way. All right, guys. So that said, moving along, and you know, I kind of like doing this by myself. Let's get to the Switchblade band. And before we even start, let me just go. I've got something beside me here that I'm going to share with you guys. So Microtech is a high-end knife company, and here's the box that this knife came in. This is a pretty rock solid box here, and this particular one, it is called the LUDT. It's the Underwater Demolition Team knife, and it's a special edition, and is a generation or a generation 3 build, so tactical partial serrated knife. So I got this from Microtech. This is a Switchblade. We're getting ready to talk about Switchblades. This is a pristine knife. It's got a clip on it. And these clips don't budge. They don't get loose, nothing. So this particular knife, and I'm going to go and open it. That is bad. It's black, and it says it's engraved. It's got a serial number on it and everything, guys. This thing is just bad to the bone. It's a Microtech. It's a high-end knife. This is about, I believe, $450 knife right here from Microtech. And there is no play in this blade. This thing is super sharp, and it's serrated, as you can see. It's partially serrated. And it's got a very interesting blade. Now, it's not, they have other knives that have glass breaks and stuff. So this does not have a glass break on it. But it is, I'll tell you, it is this underwater demolition knife. And even with the serial number on it and stuff, it's just a bad looking knife, is it not? It's very smooth action as well. And it's a low profile too. It doesn't take up a lot of room in your pocket or anything. So this is what we're talking about. Now, this is an out the side. It opens up on the side. There's other ones that do out the front. And there is a difference, and we'll talk about that maybe in a minute. So back to our article, Second Amendment groups challenge California Switchblade ban in the Ninth Circuit. So we already know that in LA County, they've only approved out of like 4,000 applications, two people got permits, you know, to carry, you know, a concealed firearm. That's horrible. And this one, the Second Amendment Foundation, along with the California Rifle and Pistol Association and the Second Amendment Law Center, they filed an amicus brief with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, generally a little liberal because of where we're out there in the California, I believe they cover Washington State too, but they're throwing their support behind the plaintiffs and appellants in the case of Knife Rights, Inc. versus Bonta. And so the lawsuit directly challenges, California's its longstanding prohibition on switchblades. And I'm reading that for the first time because I really didn't know before the article came out that California had a ban on switchblades. Of course, I always carry when I'm going to California, and I carry knives and guns. So the Ninth Circuit specifically requested an amicus briefs to address how the Supreme Court's Bruin framework, which covers guns now, you would think, but also they argue knives, it requires gun regulations to be justified by a historical tradition of restriction, and it applies to California's switchblade ban as well. And here's a statement from Costas Moros. It says that our brief explains that switchblades are plainly considered arms under the Second Amendment's text, as they fit the founding era definitions of that term. Goes on to say, and he's the SAF director of legal research and education. He goes on to say and asserts that since the ban on these knives lacks a historical tradition of similar restrictions, that the law unconstitutionally disarms law-abiding citizens of a common tool. And so they've got a pretty good rock solid argument, I think. We're going to cover more of that in a minute. We're coming up on our next commercial break here, guys. We're going to be talking about gunlearn.com, so stick with us. We got plenty more to come. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Apieco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, guys, the founder, Stan O'Kelly, he's got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or a sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I am your host. And we do have a winner for the free $50 Gold's gift card giveaway. He's watching on the stream on Rumble right now. And he did type in, he entered the contest by typing in Gold's and his email address. So again, Arthur, congratulations on the win. And I will get that to you as soon as the show is over. And we had quite a few entries today. So thanks for entering, guys. And, you know, a little birdie told me that there may be another Gold's gift card giveaway tomorrow, you know, on Thursday. So I'm just saying. Remember, it's during the live show, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time, and we are on YouTube, we're on Rumble, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, all those, Vimeo, all those outlets. So guys, don't forget about that. Now, we left off, and we were talking about a story, so let me go back to our story that we were talking about. We were talking about the switchblade ban, try saying that three times fast, in California, which I was really unaware of. And apparently one of our fans, Betty Dunn on Facebook, was too. Not that Betty walks around with switchblades, I don't know, but the brief that they did explains that switchblades are considered arms under the Second Amendment's text. And also it talks about they're being used by tools. And look, growing up in Tampa and being a cop, when there were issues back then and carrying switchblades, it was always legal, I think, about in every part of the world, basically, for a one-armed man to have a switchblade because he couldn't open it otherwise, right? And so they were there's never been a legal issue for a one-armed person to have a switchblade, as far as I know. And then there were other jurisdictions that made it a little bit more difficult, depending on where, you know, where you lived and stuff. So I'm kind of curious what's going to happen with this. But apparently in California, there is a switchblade ban. And even though it's considered in common use and it's used for defense and as a tool and stuff, they're still doing it. But then again, we just found out that they're not giving away concealed carry permits either. So they do a lot of things differently in California. So which begs the question you guys might be asking me, why in the world am I going back to California next month? And that is a good question. It's because Carmel is a very special place, that when God created this beautiful world, something happened and you know, Carmel does not belong in California. And when you go there, and when anybody critical about me going to Carmel, I guarantee you've never been there. Because if you've been there, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. It is a special part of the world that doesn't belong in California, but it is. And you have to go there to go to California to experience it. And Carmel by the Sea is the place I'm talking about. Clint Eastwood was the mayor. He still lives there. And he still has the Mission Inn, which is a place to stay. It's got a restaurant and a bar too that Eastwood still owns. It's really a special place. So anyhow, I'll be hanging out there. So I'll be thinking about you guys. And they got a pretty cool police station right there too. I'll be staying right across the street. So Carmel by the Sea, in case you guys are looking for a great vacation destination, because it's right on the water and it butts up right against Pebble Beach, the golf course. I'm talking some great stuff. All right, guys. So moving along, we got about 6 minutes. What in the world do we have here to talk about? We've talked about switchblades and carrying concealed. California is pretty screwed up. We've got this. Okay, we're going to talk about the FLIR here. You know, the notes were the story was so screwed up that this is actually maybe the first time I've had a story under a video that I didn't highlight or I'm not using anything from what they wrote because it's just garbage. It's just garbage. So I have show notes that I've created from watching this. There's a lot to learn from this. The chief of the agency was, and we're talking about Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He was kind of bragging about the way they did things. And to me, if I was the head of this agency, it would just be an embarrassment. I would send everybody back to training. I'd have them, if my troops were doing this, I'd have them all go back for retraining. I wouldn't feel comfortable with anybody being on the street until they got retrained. It's just horrific. So here we go. Rumble.com. The video, don't fault the source. It's at This Is Butter, which is our favorite law enforcement video channel that's at Rumble. And guess what? This Is Butter used to be at YouTube too, but he got kicked off of YouTube. He started having issues too. So yeah, YouTube is not your friend, guys. Even with all the stuff going on and them paying, and they're going to be more embrace, they're going to embrace more of the, and I know I'm getting off on a tangent, but even though they're going to embrace conservatives and maybe they'll start playing nice with law enforcement, you know, that's only going to last as long, you know, as the next administration, you know, until things turn. So on this particular one, passenger flees traffic stop, tased multiple times during a foot chase.
I didn't do that wrong.
Get down. You're going to get tased.
I didn't do
put
that
your
wrong.
Hands up.
I didn't put that wrong.
Got one that tased.
Stop
the get down on the ground. I get am. Down on both knees.
I
get down on both knees. No. Taser. Dude, you better stop. You better stop, dude. Taser deployed. Roll over.
I can't even taste.
Roll over.
Okay.
Roll over.
Why are you tasing?
Put your hands behind your back now. Put your hands. Put it behind your back, dude.
Okay. Okay. Why are you tasing
me? Because you fled.
I didn't flee.
I'm the police.
Okay.
Put your hands behind your back.
Okay, 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 okay. Please, don't
you
take
move
me.
Your hands from your back again, you're gonna get it again. Do you understand?
Okay, yes, and look at your damn look. Are you crazy?
105th and Western now in the gas station parking lot. Is there anybody close?
Are you crazy?
Dude, get up and you're gonna get tased again. It's all up to you. You're an adult.
Okay, damn, please don't.
Stay down.
Are you tasing me?
Dude.
Are you tasing me?
You're going to get it again.
Why are you going to hit me like that? Why are you tasing me?
Taser deployed again.
My face is bloody. Why do you bleed my
face? Get up and you're going to get tased again.
Stop.
So we started watching the body worn camera, and if you watch it from the beginning, it doesn't take long. During the first 5 seconds, the passenger in a traffic stop flees on foot, jumps an iron fence as the deputy threatens to tase him. So it's an iron fence. It's sturdy. It's not like the last chase we just talked about a minute ago, where, you know, the passenger, you know, bails out of a car and he jumps over, you know, like a chain link fence. This is like an iron fence. It's got some points on it, but the cop is there with a taser in his hand and he's saying, I'm going to tase you. Don't run. And it's just like, it's an empty promise because he's just standing there with no attempt or effort to jump that fence. Right. So he's not doing anything to follow it up. So the deputy does not jump the fence, doesn't even pursue the guy, at least at this point. But now there's some time lapse photography going on because 5 seconds later, the 10-second mark now in the video, all of a sudden our deputy has gotten on the other side of the fence. He's like some housing complex, and now he's located the guy. So he must have hopped in his car and driven around and found this guy. So he locates the suspect, who is now approaching him, but the suspect has both his hands in his pockets. And the deputy only has his tasers out, his taser, while again, he's threatening the guy that he's going to tase him. And of course, I'm thinking, well, you just did that and didn't follow it up. So how serious is the guy going to take it? So at the 25-second mark, the bad guy has turned around and faced away from the deputy with his hands behind his back, acting like he's going to let the deputy, you know, handcuff him. Deputy never moves in to do that, never puts his hand on the guy. And, you know, there's a system, you know, we'll grab the hands, the fingers, or maybe at least get him in a bent wrist, you know, for handcuffing if we think he's going to break bad. Deputy doesn't do that. So he has a taser out, bad guy breaks. But it could be, a good argument would be because maybe he knows this deputy's just not serious. The deputy's not moving in quickly to grab him. So he's thinking, okay, I'm going to book it, which he does. So the deputy at the 10-second mark, the bad guy breaks. And also, remember, the bad guy's got both of his hands in his pockets too. It didn't seem to really bother the cop that much. I would have pulled my gun out, thinking that this guy's got his hands in his pocket for a reason. I don't want the guy pulling out a weapon, because, you know, even your reaction time, if I have a weapon on the bad guy, he can pull that gun out of his pocket and shoot me before I get a round off. So I'm still behind the eight ball. It's just, but the odds are more in my favor than holding the stupid taser when the guy refuses to take his hands out of his pocket. But now our guy's fleeing again, and he's acting, like he's going to allow the deputy to handcuff him, but he doesn't. So the taser gets deployed again at the 42nd mark, and the guy falls backward onto the sidewalk, and you can hear his head, like, it sounds like a little bit of a watermelon without the juice leaking, right? And so the taser cycles again at the 1 minute, 1 second mark as the suspect was refusing to comply. He's laying in a prone position, and he finally puts his hands behind his back as instructed, but the deputy never moves in to handcuff him. And so the suspect gets back up. He starts running away again. So now the taser's redeployed yet again at the 1 minute and 30-second mark. Suspect goes down. Now he face plants, face first. Officers more interested in waiting on radio, just tased him again, waiting for my backup. He doesn't want to go hands-on without backup. That's what the problem is. He's relying solely on the taser, never going hands-on. The guy is just laying there. It seemed unresponsive at first, but the officer had a perfect opportunity just to move in, give him an arm bar, three-point pin, whatever, go hands-on. I'm telling you, it never happened. So at 2:17, he cycles the taser again when the suspect gets up again. Suspect falls down at 2:37. Then at 3:10, finally, the deputy tells the suspect to put his hands behind his back for handcuffing only after backup arrives. And that's exactly what happened. So the sheriff was talking about how they have all kinds of time, and there's, you know, time is on your side. And that's why the deputy's taking his time. Anytime you apply force, whether it's with a taser or whether it's an arm bar or whatever, you need to give verbal commands to the guy the whole time, what he can do to alleviate that force that's being used or going to be used against him. And I didn't see that happening enough. And then you cannot have a reluctance of going hands on. If you're scared to fight, scared to go hands on, you're absolutely in the wrong job. You don't belong in that job. So I suspect training issues. I hope that's all it is. If it's a cowardice issue, the guy needs to get another job, because he'll not only be a liability to himself, but also the people that he works with. I'm talking about the other Leos and even the citizens that he's supposed to be protecting. You've got to be willing to go hands on. You've got to be confident in your skill level to be able to do that. If you start fighting with a bad guy, and I'm getting close on time here, but if you start fighting with a bad guy, and let's just say that the odds turn against you and you start to lose, you separate. And then you go lethal if you have to, or you go with maybe a less lethal, but you always escalate and fight one step above the bad guy anyhow. So that's my 2 cents on that anyhow, guys. Hey, I used to take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue, the woundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So please check them out. I donate to them monthly, and I'll tell you, they're never going to embarrass me. That's a good operation. Hey, guys, thanks for watching the show. Chip the Block here, and we'll look for your support tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern. Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA, GunLearn, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, 2 Bells, FisherOrlandoBass.com. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.